Good afternoon, everybody. This is Shukri Wright, again filling in today. This hour for Fast and Loose. I'm here until 4 o'clock this afternoon here on 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tusk Free Farm Radio. The Shukri Wright's show will be filling in for this hour as part of the regular, as part of the fill-in for for this afternoon, and as well as for those that are not familiar with my voice, regular host of the Shukri Wright Show Saturday mornings from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. right here on 91.5 FM WMFO. Hope everybody is enjoying the afternoon. Glorious afternoon out. Glorious day, especially if you are an NFL fan. And the first day of Patriots training camp was today. So, I don't know about you, but in my mind, football season's back. It is back. And I cannot wait. And it actually occurred to me today while I was actually enjoying a good Carvalanche ice cream right across from South Station that today is the last Thursday without football, this week is the last week without football until February. Because next week is the Hall of Fame game. That's between the Denver Broncos and the Atlanta Falcons. And, you know, and it's really got me thinking, you know, it's an exciting time of year. I mean, it's amazing just even thinking about the fact that next Thursday is the beginning of August. And, I mean, what a beautiful time of year it is. You obviously still got baseball now about to enter the dog days of August. You have the Patriots back and running officially today. First training camp practice and preparing for their defense of the Super Bowl. You know, it's a wonderful time. It's a wonderful time. And today, I actually want to continue to talk about the Patriots as we did start yesterday when I filled in. And one thing that I definitely want to get off my chest right off the bat is there are some interesting things that already stand out to me in regards to the Patriots for this upcoming season. And the number one thing that absolutely stands out is if the Patriots who were not at their very best last season, going 11-5 and frankly struggling through the regular season by their own standards and went on to win the Super Bowl, do you think that they should at least get back to the Super Bowl again this season? Because here's my thought on that. And you can call into the show at 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636. Here's my thought. The number one thing that I can't help but honestly come to grips is this. There were definitely times last season where I thought that the Patriots were done. This isn't their year. They don't have a chance. They've had numerous of things going wrong during the regular season. The loss against Jacksonville. The horrific ending of that game against Miami. And then losing on the road against Pittsburgh. Where in years past, the Patriots have had no problem going into Pittsburgh and beating the Steelers. And in spite of all of those things going wrong, they found a way to win the division. Still had the number two seed in the AFC and go on the road to beat Kansas City in the AFC title game and win Super Bowl 53 against the Los Angeles Rams 13-3. In spite of all of those things, and in spite of the Patriots not having their best year, they still won. So let me pose to you this question and this thought. Is it okay to think that even when they're not at their full best, that they can still be effective and win another Super Bowl? If there is a team that can do it, it's them, but it's a dangerous precedent. It's a dangerous precedent to make, and here's why. I normally don't like to use teams as an outlier when making a general point as to trends or anything like that in sports. I personally don't like to do that. But in this case, I'm going to for this reason. Because if you are a longtime Patriots fan and you have and you know that this team has always struggled in September, October, they finally figured some things out. November, they're hitting their stride. December, it's full goal time. And prepare for the playoffs. Last year was really the last season and the first time since I've been watching this team in which I can remember that they struggled all across. Just when you thought they were able to finally get it together, they took a step back. Things that normally never, ever happen to the Patriots happened. And the thing that I find that's most fascinating in all of this is they got better defensively. They got better defensively, especially in getting Michael Bennett, who, by the way, did not show up in practice today. He was not at practice today for unspecified reasons. We'll touch on that during the next segment because he was not the only one. The thing that I can't believe, and I'm about to say this, I can't believe that in spite of all of that, that right now, if we're being completely honest, the only teams in the NFL, you know what? I'm going to scale it back. The only teams in the AFC that I could legitimately see them giving the Patriots fits is Kansas City. And dare I say, and I do mean, and dare I say Pittsburgh. But even then, right now, I just don't see any other team right now that's ready to take the reins. And of course, as we start Patriots training camp today, there's always a talk of, one, who was there, two, who didn't participate, three, how did Brady look, four, and the big question of them all is, the receiving core, how do they look? And especially with the news breaking that Element is going to be out for 3 weeks, With the broken thumb. And I'm gonna get into those things. And one of the things that I have a thought on, especially as training camp begins today, is if the Patriots can really put it all together and not go through patches like they did last season, they should be fine. This should be more than fine to at least get back to the Super Bowl. And like I said, there is one team in the AFC that I do look at, and I honestly say that could potentially bring fits to the Patriots. It's the Chiefs. And I was saying this last season. Even when they faced Patrick Mahomes down in Foxborough for the first time on Sunday Night Football, and I was saying then, and even more so during the AFC title game this past January, I was saying that, listen, this team is not going anywhere. They are going to be the biggest thorn to the side for the New England Patriots for the next, I would say, for the next decade. But there is one major thing that's holding them back. It's actually Andy Reid. I'm not an Andy Reid hater. I'm really not. But the number one thing that you have to understand about Andy Reid is that his biggest criticism, clock management. Clock management is a thing that is not, it is not a strength of Andy Reid whatsoever. And it showed again in the AFC title game. Let me tell you something. And I'm not one that's going to ill-wishfully say, you know, he needs to get fired or anything like that. No. But let's say that if he were to lose his job at some point, or he resigns, or whatever the case may be. The truth is, if you get a you finally get a coach that actually excels at clock management, situational football, and you still have a and you got a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, there's little reason to believe that that team could finally realize its full potential. And I'm serious about that. Because coaching can either unveil some amazingly hidden talents and gifts, aka the New England Patriots, or it could be your biggest hindrance of what your potential is and your ability to live up to that potential. And my biggest concern for Andy Reid, especially if anyone were to challenge the Patriots in the AFC to go to the Super Bowl this season, it's just coaching style. No question. This is coaching style. And reeling back, going back to the Patriots at now, the one factor that I do look at from amongst the many question marks that they have this season is, do you think their wide receiving core is going to be enough? Is it going to be enough for Brady for him to do, be able to do his job efficiently in terms of having that big target down the field? And I know N'Keal Harry is the big talk of camp, especially being of the first round draft pick and so forth. But let's hold our horses. We haven't seen him play in an actual NFL game yet. In training camp, it's just starting. But we'll see. So my thing to you Patriots fans, and you can call into the show at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. Do you think the Patriots are better than where they were a year ago? Or do you still feel the same way? Do you still hold the same concerns going into last season as you do for this season? Or do you feel that this defense that the Patriots have will potentially carry this team forward for this upcoming season? That's going to be really interesting to see. Because, you know, the Patriots, they did lose a lot of coaches off their coaching staff from last season. Especially Brian Flores, who's now gone. He's now the head coach down in Miami. So, from what it looks like right now, Belichick is going to be one that has a lot more input as to the defensive calling on the defensive side of the ball. But we'll see. Especially as we head towards the start of the regular season and with the first preseason game for the Patriots in a couple of weeks. There's a lot that remains to be seen. So we're gonna take a break. Coming up next, who was at practice today? How did it go? And why was Michael Bennett not there? He wasn't at practice today. I wonder why. That and much more, plus your calls, 855-915-WMFO. It's 855-915-9636. You're listening to the Shukri Wright Show, filling in for Fast and Loose, here until 4. This is Shukri Wright, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tusby Farm Radio.
Someday a friend may offer you a chance to visit the other side of a dream. Your ticket is a little packet of white powder called heroin. But every packet of heroin is different. You don't know what's getting into you. Some doses are so strong they kill. Heroin is so vicious that the criminals who make the big money in heroin don't use it. They know a lot of reasons why heroin is very, very dumb. Maybe that's why they call it dope.
And you are listening to WMFO in Medford, 91.5 FM.
You are listening to WMFO in Medford.
Hey, this is Chris from Strike the Box. I'm on every other Thursday from noon to 2 p.m. here on WMFO in Medford. The show is 2 hours of free-form music, where I play just about anything and everything. And like a lot of other DJs on WMFO, I take requests. So if you want to hear it, and if I can find it, I'll put it on the air for you and on the internet. Whatever it is. How many other radio stations will do that for you, huh?
I love it so much.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show. And this is Shukri Wright, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Touch Free Farm Radio. This is the Shukri Wright Show, filling in today until 4 o'clock for Fast and Loose. And we started off the show talking about the Patriots, and rightfully so, as they had their first training camp practice today down at Gillette Stadium. I mean, I wish I was able to go, but hopefully in the next few weeks or so, I'll definitely have to and will make my way down there. You can follow me on Twitter, by the way, at Shukri Wright. That's at the at sign S-H-U-K-R-I Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T-S, all in one. You can follow me on Twitter. Hit me up with your thoughts, questions, and so forth. Let's talk about what happened today at practice. You know, like who was there. Let's talk about who didn't participate. That's really the big question. Because, I mean, of course, 90 players that on the roster were expected to be there. But there are players that did not participate. And some of the players that did not participate were David Andrews, the center on the offensive line, Michael Bennett, Julian Edelman. Again, we talked about the thumb injury. Sony Michel, Nate Ebner, who's on the player unable to perform list. Yoni Kahuste, Kev Webster, Cole Croston, Demaryius Thomas, and Yatrich Weiss. Now, I'm not here trying to make this a big deal and so forth, because some of the players that did not participate was due to injury. It was a non-football injury for Edelman. Yatrich Weiss, it was an ankle-foot injury. Demaryius Thomas, Achilles injury. But as I mentioned in the first segment, Michael Bennett was absent, and I thought that was a little strange, and as well as David Andrews. However, Edelman, Michelle, Ebner, Thomas, and Weiss, they were all present to watch the beginning and the end of practice, but otherwise they were definitely working on some conditioning on the field and so forth, which is definitely good, because you obviously want to be able to maintain your conditioning, although you're not able to practice, especially early on. We're 2 weeks away from the first preseason game for the Patriots in Detroit against the Lions. So the question now begs, well, how did Brady do today? How is Brady? Well, according to Jeff Howe, who is a reporter who covers the Patriots for The Athletic, he mentioned in his column that Tom Brady, who was 8 of 11 today in competitive team drills, with completions to Rex Burkhead, which is 3. And keep in mind, Patriot fans, that Rex Burkhead is going to have an even more important role in this offense this year, especially with Rob Gronkowski being gone, in terms of pass protection, in my opinion. And Brady completed 2 passes to Philip Dorsett, N'Keal Harry, Damian Harris, and James Devlin, the fullback. They all had 1 each, which is good. Which is definitely a good sign, especially, I mean, we're not going to make a huge deal out of this, good or bad, because, I mean, this is the first practice of training camp. However, it's good to see, read, and hear that Brady, that his ability is still there to run an efficient offense. And that's never been a question. So, ultimately, one of the things that I'm most interested in, apart from the lack of weapons at wide receiver, is Isaiah Wynn in particular. Isaiah Wynn at left tackle this season is going to be absolutely so important. He's going to be so important in protecting Brady's blind side. Because if he succeeds and does a marvelous job protecting Brady, in terms of like pass protection and blocking and so forth, and as well as the run game, I'm telling you, this will make it a lot easier for the Patriots, especially in terms of issues and problems that he wouldn't have to worry about. Brady and Belichick, that is. But another topic in regards to the Patriots that really caught my attention, and especially as I heard about this morning, and for those that are just tuning in, how many of you heard about Danny Etling and what he did today? Apparently, and this definitely made news, by the way. He was drafted as a quarterback, and he is no longer going to be a quarterback, especially if he's going to stick around on the New England Patriots. So what the Patriots are doing now, and it started today, he's transitioning to wide receiver. He's transitioning to wide receiver and is no longer a quarterback. Or at least he's no longer going to be utilized as a quarterback as long as he's still here in New England. Which brings up a really interesting point that I definitely want to put this out there right now. This goes to tell you that the Patriots' backup situation is concerning. It's absolutely concerning. Because the truth is this. If Brady goes down, the Patriots are screwed. They're absolutely screwed. Listen, I know Jarrett Stidham was just drafted and so forth, but by all accounts and everything that I read today, he didn't look that great. And again, whichever quarterback did well, didn't do well, receivers that did well, didn't do well, I'm not putting too much stock into it. But what I am going to do is that I am going to look at it from a collective whole viewpoint and say, hey, if we're looking at the depth chart right now behind Brady, it's a wasteland. It's an absolute wasteland. And basically, the quarterback position, and I hate to sound like a broken record, but it's essentially Brady and then nothing else. Nothing else and no one else that could pose as a potential threat. Just saying. So that's where we are in terms of the Patriots. It's day one of training camp. And we have a lot more headlines that I'm sure that will unfold over the next couple of weeks as they approach the first preseason game on the preseason schedule in Detroit against the Lions exactly 2 weeks from today. It'll be exactly 2 weeks from today in Detroit. So I'm intrigued to see what happens moving forward, and especially with the wide receiver position. With the Edelman injury, this also means another thing. The opportunity for playtime is up for grabs. So guys like Braxton Berrios and N'Keal Harry, this is your opportunity to show Belichick and especially offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels what you can do and what you can do to bring, what can you bring to the offense. That I'm absolutely interested in. I'm going to shift away from the Patriots and talk about the Boston Red Sox. Because if there's one thing that I have been consistent on throughout this show, throughout the Shukri Wright Show, from day one, is that the Red Sox, they may not even be good enough to get to October. But that's a different point for later. But what I want to start off with is this. The Red Sox starting tonight at Fenway Park. And I'm going to put this as nicely as I could put this. they have an absolutely monstrous series. 4-game series tonight. That starts tonight against the New York Yankees. It starts tonight. And I want to tell you this very, very bluntly. And I will talk about this more on the Shukri Wright Show at its regular scheduled time this Saturday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. right here on 91.5 FM WMFO. That if they somehow lose this series, the Red Sox are absolutely done. Mark my words. If they lose this series somehow, some way, they're done. Because the reality is this. They're 11 games behind in the division. Yes, they're 2 games out on behind the second wild card. I understand all of that. However, the fact of the matter is, do you really want to be playing in that 1-game wild card if you're the Red Sox? Do you? Realistically. I don't think you do. I really don't. So to me, the whole thing is, if you do what you can this weekend against the Yankees, heck, in a very minimum, you got to win 3 out of 4. There's no two ways about it. You got to win 3 out of 4. A split would just simply not be good enough. It won't. And if there's one thing I did say on my regularly scheduled program is that you are in a stretch of 14 straight games against your division. Right now, over the next week and a half, you are facing 4 games against the Yankees at home starting tonight. Then you got a series against Tampa Bay coming up next week. And then guess what? You got another 4-game series against the Yankees next weekend in New York at Yankee Stadium. So I don't think I can overstate the sheer importance of this series tonight and what it will mean for the Red Sox and the Yankees moving forward, as we are now about to enter the dog days of August. So what I'll do coming up in the next segment, I'm going to look at the potential pitching matchups as well as what this could mean for the Red Sox moving forward with the July 31st trade deadline, six days away. What could this all mean? If they somehow completely just lay an egg at home, where they have struggled this season, they are under 500 at Fenway Park this season. They're 24-25. So that's something that Red Sox fans, you're not going to want to miss. Coming up next, the 4-game series that could absolutely determine the very fate of this team moving forward. You're listening to the Shukri Wright Show, filling in for Fat and Loose. This is Shukri Wright, and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tusk Free Farm Radio.
Can't cover it up. You can try, but you can't get enough. You can try. You can try, but you can't cover it up. you can try, but you can't cover it up.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford. We're going to continue talking about the Red Sox in the last 19 minutes or so left that we have. And the thing that is 100% clear to me in this current state of affairs in terms of the Red Sox is that there are so many fans that have yet to have finally woken up to a reality that's facing this team and organization. And it's starting to get me really annoyed. And the reason being is that how much longer do you think you can continue to live in the glow of 2018 over and over and over again? And this is in lieu of a lot of the comments that I've seen today on social media talking about still believe in Boston and so forth. Don't get me wrong. I believe in this team. However, the problem is this. When you don't have an adequate bullpen, when you don't have enough starting pitching that can legitimately carry you through, and with the trade deadline coming rapidly, you're in a pickle. You're telling yourself, we're good enough. You haven't proven that all season. Let's just be 100% honest right now. You haven't proven it all season. You're 9 games above 500. And like I said yesterday, you have underachieved. No two ways about it. You have. You haven't been good enough. And with this series starting tonight against the New York Yankees, let me tell you something. If you lose 3 out of 4, or even worse, if you get swept, you're done. At that point, it's a foregone conclusion. Sell the players in which that you know that you can get a good return on, like a Mookie Betts. Because I wonder how many Red Sox fans are going to get mad at me by the fact of, why are you saying trade Mookie Betts, huh? This is the reason why I absolutely hate to have any type of emotional attachment to players. This is why. There's no question Mookie Betts is a great player. He is. But has he honestly shown you that he wants to stay here long term? No, he hasn't. Let's be 100% honest. He hasn't. So there's a lot that's hinging on this weekend. You can feel free to call in the show at 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636. I have to ask you this question in all seriousness. If the Red Sox lose this series this weekend, I'm talking they lose 3 out of 4, or even if they get swept. But what if they split the 4 games? Well, here's what happens if they do. At worst, you're still 11 games back in the division. As for the wild card, we don't know. We just don't know. But if you get swept this weekend by the Yankees, the Red Sox, without question in my mind, should absolutely start selling off pieces that they know in which that they can build their farm system with. But here's the issue. Dombrowski's never been known for building up the farm system, if we're being completely honest. He's never been known for that. His track record says otherwise. Completely. So, with that being said, this is why I really believe, and I wish that Red Sox fans stop living in fantasy. Stop living with this belief, this false belief that this team is suddenly going to just turn on that switch and get hot. Because right now they're not. They're just not good enough to get the job done. And I'm telling you this. I'm willing to bet against myself. If come Saturday morning, when I'm sitting in this very seat doing the regularly programmed Shukri Wright Show, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. on 91.5 WMFO, and the Red Sox have lost the first two games, and they're, 13 games back? At this point, you best believe I will be uttering the very following words. Sell. 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 Just sell. What are you buying for? You're wasting your time. I'm telling you, this four-game series can absolutely create absolute mayhem for the Boston Red Sox. And not just this season. Potentially, their future is at stake. And I'm going to tell you why. And I'm going to tell you why I really believe that. Because their farm system is the worst in baseball. You have no up-and-coming top-tier prospects that are ready to make their big league debuts. You don't. You don't have any of that. And the harsh reality is this. You cannot honestly think that you're going to continue to compete with the Yankees if you do not address your farm system one way or another. Which is why, once and for all, if they lose the first two games of this series, or if they fall any further from where they are now, because they're already 11 games out, they're done. And I really think that they already are done already as is. They're just not good enough. I've seen too much this season to really suddenly believe that they are going to just completely just turn around. I don't buy it. And here's another thing. Here's another thing that really does concern me. The Red Sox record against 500 teams are better this year. They're 8 games under. They're 20-28. That is exactly who they are. If you are still telling yourself at this point in the season that they're suddenly going to just change all of that, you're lying to yourself. You're absolutely lying to yourself. There's no way. With the team currently constructed the way that it is, you can convince me that they're going to be able to compete with the teams like New York, Houston, and dare I say, even Minnesota. You think the Red Sox, as it currently stands, they're good enough to compete against those teams? Stop lying to yourself. They're not. They're absolutely not. So, with all of that being said, when we return in just a moment, I'm going to offer my final thoughts and quickly preview the four-game series for the Red Sox against the Yankees beginning tonight. You're listening to the Shukri Wright Show, filling in for Fat and Loose, and this is Shukri Wright. You are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford. Tusfee Farm Radio.
off your tie, pull on your bootstrap, kiss the workday goodbye. Throw off your worries, kick up your heels, let yourself go now. Some talent, yeah, you know what I mean. I don't know what you got on your mind, I don't know what you're leaving behind. I don't care if it's a wedding or a wake, just take your lives in your hands. And there's someone waiting on you, get up and do what you do. You won't regret it at all, just get up off your ass.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright, and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tusk Free Farm Radio. And we're going to spend these last 6 minutes talking about and previewing the four-game series in terms of the pitching and how it's going to be lined up. I'm interested to see what and how the Red Sox are going to have this all sorted out. Because tonight is Masahiro Tanaka against Rick Porcello. That's tonight's pitching matchup. Friday, it's the Yankees starting James Paxton against the Red Sox, Andrew Cashner. Saturday, the Yankees are starting Cesar Sabathia, and the Red Sox are starting arguably their best starter in Eduardo Rodriguez. And in the Sunday night baseball game, Domingo Herman against Chris Sale. So that's your pitching preview for the four-game series beginning tonight for the Boston Red Sox against the arch-rival New York Yankees. So here's my final thought to wrap up this hour-long show. At what point do the Red Sox hit that reset button? At what point do you say this team needs to absolutely fire off certain pieces and consider trading off major assets that could help build up the farm system? As I mentioned in the previous segment, they don't have a farm system right now. They really don't. It's almost completely barren of top top prospects and prospects that can help you contend long term. And as I mentioned in the last segment, and I'm really going to drive this point home. If the Red Sox lose the series, they lose 3 out of 4, even if they split for the fact of the matter, but even if they lose a series, they don't win the series at all, it's really time for the Red Sox to really strongly consider selling the team. I mean, being sellers at the trade deadline. There's too much that we've seen this season. And there are those that are optimistic, and I'm not one that's being negative willy-dilly over here, but I'm just being very much realistic. The reality surrounding this team is that I don't see the sense of urgency. I don't expect to see it at all this weekend. Although they showed some signs of life against the Rays, but even then, it just hasn't made me enough of a believer that the Red Sox are gonna completely flip the proverbial switch and go on a tear. We just haven't seen it at all this season. And we are how many games in? 103 games in to the season for the Red Sox. I have a hard time believing that at the end of the day, even if they get to the one game wild card, that they can honestly compete with the likes of New York, Cleveland, and Houston in the AL. I don't see it. Yes, it's the same team that won 108 games last year, but we're no longer living in the past of last year. This is a whole different team in terms of the dynamics and so forth. This is just different. This whole year has just felt different. And ultimately, by Sunday night, I genuinely believe that the fate of the 2019 Red Sox will be determined. No question. By Sunday night, you'll know. You'll absolutely know where this team is heading. I would like to thank all of you who tuned in today. And I want to say thank you to everybody who took the time out of the day to listen into the show. I will be back again Saturday for my regularly 3-hour program from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. right here on 91.5 FM WMFO Medford. And I definitely look forward to it because we're going to have a lot to talk about. We're going to get into some more Patriots stuff and as well as Red Sox. Maybe a little bit of Celtics and Bruins. But you've been listening to The Sugar Wright Show. This is Sugar Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio.